Today's Shir's Masechta Erev and Dapei Dalad. We will begin on Dapei Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous Shir, we learned the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara had discussed a situation where there were two Chatzeris that have access to a common area, and the Gemara established that if one has easier access and one access is more difficult, we attribute that area to the one who has easier access. But we had also learned in our previous year at the end, a machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, where neither of them has absolute easy access. One has access b'shilshul by dropping something down, and one has b'zrika. So Rav's opinion is, since neither has either access, easy access, it's considered the area of both. Shnei Masurim, because that property is considered attributed to both of them. Shmuel, however, said that this shilshul is easier way to access than zrika. Dropping down is an easier way of accomplishing that access. And therefore Shmuel said that where both have access, however, l'zeh tashmisha b'nachas, l'zeh b'kosher, one has easier access than the other, we attribute that property to the one who has the easier access. That was the halacha that we learned in yesterday's shiur. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya to Shmuel's opinion from our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, tonight we learned in our Mishnah, anche chotzer anche mespeses, yeah, people that live on the lower story and the upper story, sheshachu v'lo irvu, and they didn't construct an erev between themselves. Kol shegvay asar tefachim, anything that's asar tefachim tall, we attribute to merpesas. Pach mikan, whatever is lower than 10 tefachim, we attribute to the chotzer. Says the Gemara, kusaka datach. So we would assume what is meant in the Gemara. What does the Gemara mean by saying this? Kusal kedatach, what's meant to say here is, my merpeses. What does the Gemara mean when it says merpeses? B'nei Aliyah, the people who live on the upper story. Or my karli merpeses. And why are they called anshi merpeses? The kusal kelebe merpeses. Because in order to get up to that upper story, they have to go through the balcony, which is in the which is leading up to the Mepesis. So they're both using this thing that's in the Chotzer, this tent Fochim object, is not something which is right away accessible to them. Rather, it's only accessible to them by dropping it down to them. And the people down on the bottom are able to use this object because they have to raise the hand. They have to throw top of it. So isn't our Mishnah, says the Gemara, clearly a situation of Alma, Lzeb B'Shilshol, called Lzeb B'Shilshol, where one gets access by dropping it, and the other one gets access by throwing on it. So according to Rav, since neither has really easy access, we don't start measuring who from the two has easier and who from the two has harder access. Shmuel says, we do. So we obviously see that Shmuel's opinion is right, that when you have two types of access, we look which is the easiest access. And since Shilshul is an easier access, that's why we attribute it to them. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the case of the Mishnah, but rather the way to understand the case of the Mishnah, K'dam Rav Huna, we're going to have this later in the Gemara, and actually all the Rishonim point out that the reason the Gemara doesn't immediately mention Rav Huna and tell us where Rav Huna said it in explaining the Mishnah, because our Gemara is trying to go follow the order of the Mishnah. And when we're going to get to that phrase in the Mishnah, where we had to rely on Rav Huna's explanation, that's where it's brought up. But now, says the Gemara, that explanation that we're going to have shortly becomes very important in understanding our Mishnah. Doesn't mean that our Mishnah is not speaking about people who are all the way up in the Aliyah, in the upper story. And then by saying that we're talking about the people who are all the way up in the upper story, that's why it's clearly that the only way they can access is b'shulshul. Rather, Amish is referring la'oysam hadar m'merpeses, the people who are living on the balcony. As Rav Huna says, hachnami, that's what our Mishnah means, lo'isim ador merpeses. So now, if we think about it, it's a whole different situation. Because the people who are in the merpeses have immediate, easy access. They don't have to rely on shilshul to getting to this area. Whereas the people on the below have to do zrika. When one has a pesach and the other one has zrika, There is no shaila. Everybody agrees that we give it to the one with a Pesach. Rav doesn't disagree. And that's how Rav interprets is the case of our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Yochi, Eima Sefer, let's continue learning our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if it's less than 10 tefachim tall, we attribute it, if this object or pile or whatever we're looking at is less than 10 tefachim tall, we attribute it to the Chatzar. Ask the Gemara Baramai, why is it attributed to the Chatzar? It's Lezebe Pesach, Lezebe Pesachu. Since the Mepesach is not very high, so if the Pesach is not very tall, so when you have this object in the Chatzar, it's equally accessible to the Chatzar and the Mepesach. And we've been learning that when it's Lezeh and Lezeh, when they both have equal access, then we can't give it to either. So why does our Mishnah give it to the Chatzar? We should give it to the Mepeses. So as the Rishonim, Tosfos, and other Rishonim explain, in the Havamina, we thought that it was a situation of Lezeh b'shilshul or Lezeh b'zrika. And therefore, because we thought it was talking about the people in the upper story and the people in the lower story. But now that we've changed the case of the Mishnah, and we said that the Mishnah is talking about people who are in the Mepeses, so they have very easy access to something that's in the Chatzar, equal to the people in the Chatzar. So why do we give it to the people in the Chatzar? Answers the Gemara, indeed, that's what the Mishnah meant. My L'Chatzar, when the Mishnah, when it described this case, said L'Chatzar, it only means L'Chatzar, it meant Af L'Chatzar. And because it has this equal access to the Aliyah and to the Chatzar, so as I said a moment ago, whenever you have a situation of equal access, then both are indeed asur. Says the Gemara Hachinam Mistabra, and that makes sense to explain the Mishnah. And again, the way I saw Tosfos and other Rishonim explain the Gemara, what the Gemara is meaning to say is like this. The reason we said this pshat, the reason the Gemara said this pshat, is because we had to be able to defend Rav's opinion in light of our Mishnah. But now, says the Gemara, this pshat that we just offered in understanding the Mishnah, that when the Mishnah says l'chotzer, it didn't mean that we attributed to the chotzer, but rather what it meant was, af l'chotzer, and we attributed to both, says the Gemara, makes sense to explain irrespective of the issue that we brought up of Rav and Shmuel. Hachnam and Mestam, but that's the right way to explain the Mishnah. Midiktani, Seifa. The Mishnah said further, b'medvam amurim, that if it's above 10 tefachim, we give it to the merpeses. So we said b'smucha, when it's near the merpeses, avim aflegas, but if it's distant from the merpeses, and as we learned, distant means more than 4 tefachim away, afil gvay asar tefachim, even if it's asar tefachim l'chatzar. So now, ask the Gemara, let's understand that line of the Mishnah. My l'chotzer, what did the Mishnah mean with that line? Ilema l'chotzer v'shari. If we're going to say that since it's 4 tefachim away from the Mepeses, we give it strictly to the chotzer. Amai, why should we give it strictly to the chotzer? Rishus tavayahu. It should be a situation that both have access. Yes, it's tall, and because it's tall, it should be better to them, given to the Mepeses, but it's somewhat further away. On the other hand, when it's closer to the Chatzar, it does have that advantage, but it's still tall. Ella, what did the Mishnah mean when it said that? What did the Mishnah say when it spoke about this case, and it said L'Chatzar, what did the Mishnah mean? L'Af L'Chatzar, v'shnei mesurim. And what the Mishnah meant to say was that both don't have access, and both have equal access. This is to be understood as a case of equal access, and therefore both are equally usur. Hachinami, so too, in the case that we mentioned a moment ago, where we said that if it's not that tall, when it's not that tall, we give it to the chotzer. My lechotzer, what did the Mishnah mean? It didn't mean that we strictly give it to the chotzer, but rather meant af lechotzer v'shnei masurim shmamina. So again, the Gemara goes back to question Rav's opinion. Rav's opinion, we said, was lezeh lezrika lezeh b'shilsho. That's considered a situation of equal access, and since it's considered equal access, shnei mesur. Tanan, ask the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, choyus habor, if somebody took out of a pit, the earth, and put it around the bar, for sewa, we have a rack that's standing in the chotzer, shen gvoin asora, if they're 10 tefachim tall, we attribute them to the merpeses. Pachs mikan, but if they're not that tall, we attribute it to the chotzer. So now, the Gemara again assumes, and this is what we referred to a moment ago, that when the Mishnah said the word mepeses, it meant the people on the upper floor, that's much higher up. And still the Mishnah says that if there's this mound of earth, the stone, if it's taller than 10 tefachim, we give it to the mepeses. But in this case, which we thought means the people on the upper floor, now that's a situation of shilshul, of lowering it down for the people on the upper floor, and zrika for the people on the upper floor. And yet, the Gemara says that it's not considered equal access. I, Rav, says that when you have lezeb zrika, lezeb shilshul, it is considered equal access. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, like we said before, it doesn't mean, when the Mishnah uses the word merpeses, it doesn't mean the people who live in the aliyah, people who live in the upper story, but rather what the Mishnah meant was lo'isim hadorim merpeses, people who live on the merpeses itself, which is not that high up, and there Rav will agree that it's more accessible. And this is where the Ritva tells us, as I mentioned a moment ago, that the Gemara should have mentioned perhaps this first. If the Gemara would have mentioned this first, the question that we began the shiur with would have automatically been answered, but the Gemara wanted to go in the order of the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara. So Tanach Sela, this explanation that we just offered is understandable in the case of a stone. However, bor my ikla meimer, what are we going to say with a bor? What happens with a bor? A bor is usually, as we know throughout this Masechta, 10 tefachim deep. And therefore, even people who are on the mepesas, they have to drop their pail for 10 tefachim to get to the water in the bor. And to the people in the chotzer, they could only get to the bor that they first have to throw, they're standing in the chotzer, and there's the bank around the bor, they have to throw whatever pail they're using over that bank. So we see that we give it to the, and still we give it to the mepeses, which only requires lowering down. And we don't give it to the chotzer, which requires rika. Isn't that a proof to Shmuel's opinion? Answers the Gemara, no. We're talking about a bar that is full of water, and therefore, you don't have to get to the depth of the bar to get to the bar, because the bar has water till the top, and it's very, and you just scoop up the water from the top of the water. Ants the marva chasra, but throughout Shabbos, the water will recede by people constantly using the water. And since they're constantly going to use the water and it's going to recede, why is that considered that? So we're going to end up with a situation of shilshul, of having the people on the upper floor, on the mepesas, if they're going to want to get to that water, they're going to have to lower their pail. Answers the Gemara, Kivan the Chimal Yesharia, since, says the Gemara, at the beginning of Shabbos, it was okay, Kichasra, the fact that later on in Shabbos, it gets dominions, it doesn't make a difference now, Misharia. And the way the Rishonim, the Ritva, explains the Gemara is here, the Gemara is saying that we're going to apply the concept of Kivan the Hutra Hutra. Since at the beginning of Shabbos, the water was high enough that the people on the Merpesas can access that water without needing to do any shilshul. The fact that it changes on Shabbos doesn't make a nafkamina because kivin the hutra hutra. But ask the Gemara, Adrabba, kivin the chasra asira, since during Shabbos the water is going to diminish, so it shouldn't make a difference, kimal yanami asira, even if it was full at the beginning of Shabbos. And the way the Ritva continues to explain the Gemara, the Gemara is saying, yeah, the Gemara is not retracting, says the Ritva, from the concept of kivin the hutra hutra. The Gemara sticks to that concept. But rather what the Gemara is saying here is that something which is invariably going to happen, something which is certainly going to happen, there we don't say kivin the hutra hutra. And in fact, this is the basis for a very important shaila that the Paiskim discuss. Somebody, we've spoken from the beginning of Amasechta, actually the first mission of Amasechta, that a mavui, given the proper conditions, all you need to do is put up a lechi, a kaira, by your mayra, by your entrance to the mavui, and you'll be able to carry in the mavui. So let's say you live in a place that the hurricane is coming, and it's not going to be able to, the lechi and kaira will not be able to withstand that hurricane. Is that going to be considered acceptable or not? Do we say here the concept of kivin hutra hutra? Normally the halacha, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen Shin Samachay Siv Zayin, that kivin shehutra hutra, but do we say it even in a case where something like this is going to happen, do we still rely on the heter? So the Ramah over there, paskins, only if it was a lechi or kaira that was able to stand for the entire Shabbos. Avam hoya oimid lista marav Shabbos. But if this was a lechi or kaira that we know cannot withstand the entire Shabbos, also la'achash nistar. So we see here that if it can't remain for the entire Shabbos, we don't rely on it. And that's our Gemara as well. Even though it was full of water, but if we know that in the natural course of events, the water will recede, we can't say that it's full. And as I saw that the Emek Brocha explains, because all of these halachas are based on the halacha of mechitzas, of what is considered a proper mechitza and halacha or not. If something is not able to withstand, in what will be the normal course of events, that's not considered a mechitza. The one question that comes up is what's going to be with our shaila. So in our shaila, we know that the lechi and kaira will not be able to stand for an entire Shabbos, so when they fall down, we can't rely on it. What's going to be a loch until they, and we can't apply, as Ritva said in understanding our Gemara, the concept of kivin the hutra hutra. The question that still needs to be discussed is, what about till it falls down? Do we say, since we know that this is going to fall down, even though it didn't fall down, it's already considered, the halacha looks at that as if it's not there? Or do we say, as long as it's there, it's there? And makes the Meiri a very important point in understanding this Gemara. The Meiri says that the concern that our Gemara says that the water is going to recede, and since the water is going to recede, we can't rely on it, that's only if it's a water that's a pit of water that was poured in there, and whatever water you take out will not replenish. But let's say, says the Meiri, the water that we're discussing is a well or a stream that's constantly replenishing itself. So the concern of chasra goes away. And since the concern of chasra goes away, then that would not be the way to understand the Gemara. Elam Abaya. So then it still should be asr. Elam Abaya, says the Baya, we're talking about hochav bar malei peres eskinim. And therefore, the bar is considered completely full because it has fruit all the way to the top. Ask the Gemara for a chasri. But the fruit, you're allowed to eat fruit on Shabbos. And since you're allowed to eat fruit on Shabbos, why is that not, why do we say that it's considered like the people in the Merpesas have very easy access because they just have to stick their hand out to and get the fruit? No, They can't get the fruit. Maybe the fruit people will eat, and now we'll end up with the fruit being deeper in the pit. If the fruit is deep in the pit, then it's not accessible that easily. It's shilshul. It's the only way that people on the Mepesis could get it, with a shilshul. Answers the Gemara, Betivla. We're talking about that they didn't take off Trumas and Maestris from the fruit, and since they didn't take it off with Trumas and Maestris, the fruit may not be touched. And since the fruit may not be touched, therefore it's Muksa, and we don't have to worry that it's going to be that some of the fruit will be taken away, and now we'll have to only be able to get to the people in the Merpesas, we'll only be able to get to anything in the bar with Shilshul. This Gemara is the basis for a very famous Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin in Siman Samech Zayin discusses when we speak about Hilchas Muksa. So we know that Muksa you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. What is the halacha regarding touching Muksa? Is touching Muksa Asur or not? And the Trumas Hadeshin says that this fruit that we just explained is a Muksa. There's no problem of being able to use that area. Being able to use the area involves touching the Muksa. From here we see that there is no Isser in touching Muksa. And that's the halacha where the Shulchan Aruch says this in Simen Shin Ches, Sif Membeis, and the Ramah paskens that way, that the Isser on Muksa on Shabbos is only touching Muksa, is only moving Muksa, not touching Muksa. Another very important point. We've learned many times in our Shurim, actually fairly recently, that when taking off truma, so you don't have to have the truma taken off. If you have a barrel, a basket of fruit that's tevel, and you need to remove truma, you don't have to have that barrel or basket right in front of you. Even you could take from one place for the other. I could take from truma from my home for truma for a basket. Moreover, the halacha is you don't have to take from each basket individually. You can take from one basket for all the baskets. Moreover, I could take truma for somebody else. So if I want to be nice to somebody and I want to take truma on behalf of someone else, coupled with the fact of zochen l'adam shleim b'fonav, I'm doing you a favor. You have a basket full of fruit, which is tevel. Tevel, no one may eat. It's a very serious isser, eating tevel. And I go and I take off truma on your behalf. So given the concept that we've discussed many times, of zochen l'adam shleim b'fonav, I could do something on behalf of somebody else. So this is clearly a situation, at first glance, of zochen l'adam shleim b'fonav, I did you a favor. However, upon further analysis, it's not always a schus. Because let's think about this bor that our Mishnah just discussed. So this bor that we are now discussing, so by me taking off truma, I'm doing somebody a very big favor, taking off truma on his behalf. But now it's not tevel. If it's not tevel, then it's going to be a situation that till now the people in the Merpesas had rights. But now the people in the Merpesas will lose that right. So when we think that we're doing a favor, in this case, the Sefer Cheshuki Chemet says we would not be able to apply the concept of Zochlan Shalai Befonov, because I'm not really doing this person a favor by taking truma on his behalf. Dekanami, and the Gemara says that's the right way to learn the Mishnah, because when we speak about a bar, the Gemara compares it to a seller, Domi de Besella. So obviously we're talking about something that's there permanently, and that a stone. I'm not diminishing the stone when I use the top of the stone. Same thing, the bar is full of objects or fruit that will not be diminished by me using it because it's the devil. Ask the Gemara, now the Gemara asks another question. Why did the Mishnah have to speak two different examples? And the question I saw Rashi understands is much more complicated now. Because now that the Gemara, as we just learned a moment ago, connected the halacha of compared the case of the bor and the case of the seller, once the Gemara compared these two situations, so they're really essentially identical. So now ask the Gemara, if the way we're understanding the Mishnah, The two cases are essentially identical. So now we have a question. Why do we have to say both cases? Answers the Gemara Tzricha. The Ishmin Sela, if we would have learned Allah only by a Sela, the Lekla Migzer, there's no reason to make a Gzeira. The Sela, as we just explained, a stone, nothing's changing with the stone. And something, since nothing is changing with the stone, certainly what's on top of the stone is more accessible to the Merpesas than to the people in the Chotzer. Aval Bor, by Bor, yes, our Bor is full of Peiris Tevel. But usually it's not a bar that has fruit in it. It's not going to have tevel. And therefore, maybe ligzer, we should say that even in a case where it's not, where it's full of Paris tevel, we should be strict because of a gzera, zim demalia Paris musukonim. And there, the Paris will diminish. And therefore, because it's going to be diminished, it'll be lezeb shulshul, lezeb zrika, which according to Rav, shnei mesurim. That's what the Gemara had to teach us. Tzricha, the Gemara says, the halacha still is that since in a case where it's full of Peiris Tevel, it's obviously easier for the people on the Mepesas, that's the way it remains. Toshima. So now the Gemara wants to bring a raya to Rav, opinion, that whenever we have a situation of Elazeb, Shilsh, Elazeb, Zrika, it's considered equal access, and since it's considered equal access, Shnei Masurim. Toshima. It says in a Braisa, Anshi Chotzer, again, people who live in a Chotzer, Vansha Aliyah, and people who live in Aliyah, Sheshachu V'lo Irvu, they didn't make an Erev together. Anshi Chotzer, the people in the Chotzer, Mishtamshim Basar Tachtoinim. Anything that is on the lower hand, in the low, within 10 Tfachim, the people in the Chotzer could use that object, those objects. To them, it's considered a Pesach. And the people on top don't have that easy access. On the other hand, the people who live in the Merpesas have access to what's on the upper half. Ketzad, and the Bryce explains itself. You have a platform that's sticking out of the wall. If it's Lamata Masara, if that platform is below 10 Tfachim, we give the Chotzer the rights to use it. Lamala Masara, if the platform is above 10 Tfachim, we give it to the people of Asara Tfachim. And Rashi points out that this platform we're speaking about, Rashi Divrei Maskil B'Kaisel, is a platform that's Dalad al Dalad. Because if it's not Dalad al Dalad, it's a Mokim Pator. And if it's a Mokim Pator, then all these halachas don't apply. What do we see? Hada Beni Beni. But whatever is below ten, the bottom 10, and above, or below the bottom 10, and above the bottom 10, and below the bottom top 10, Usur. Why? Because it's an area of Lezeh Bezrika. The people on the bottom have to get to it by throwing to that area. The people on the bottom, on the top, have to get to that area by throwing. And we see from this Braisa that when we have a situation of Lezeh Bezrika, Lezeh Bezshilshol, Shnei Masurim, exactly as Rav explained. Amar Rav Nachman, says the Gemara, Hacha, our Mishnah, our Braisa is talking about to defend Shmuel. Hach because Shas is skinen. We're talking about a wall that's 19 tefachim tall, the ziv yotzei menu, and the wall, and there's a platform sticking out. If we think about a platform sticking out exactly that place, it's equal to both reshuyus because it's within 10 of the top and it's 10 of the bottom. Where it's lezebe pesach and lezebe pesach, that we learned. Everybody agrees that Shnei Masurim. Lamata Asara Lezebe Pesach, Lezebe Shilshul, Lamal Masara, when, so the Gemara explains itself. In the area it's Lamata Masara, it's Lezebe Pesach, it's the people on the bottom, the Pesach, Lezeh, and the people on the Aliyah, the Shilshul. So we clearly give it to the people of Pesach. When it's Lamal Masara, it's Lezebe Pesach, Lezebe Zrika. And therefore we certainly will give it to the people on the Merpesas. In the middle, where it's Lezebe Pesach, that's why it's also to both. So the Gemara again asks a question on Shmuel. That Shmuel's opinion was, as we learned at the end of yesterday's shiur, of Lezebe Shilshul, Lezebe Zrika, that we give it to the one B'Shilshul. Tashma. We're going to Mitzvah Shem learn a Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin Amabez. that if somebody has a home next to the river, next to the ocean, and he wants to be able to transport from inside his home into the ocean or vice versa, and we've learned many times that a yam is a kamos. So how could I carry from the balcony that's in front of my house to the yam, or vice versa? It's carrying from a kamos to shusha yochid, which is of course asur in Shabbos. So the Mishnah says that a special cooler in water, we've quoted this halacha more than once, and every time we quote this halacha, we explain, I saw that the Shamat Shem Balacha explains, that because Chazal knew how critical it was to be able to access water or to deposit waste into water, what normally may not be enough, Chazal said, would be enough here. And what they said, therefore, was that you make a frame that's dalet al dalet tfachim with boards that go up by dalet tfachim, and then you could pour through that frame or take water in from that frame. Which even though, as we learned and will learn, that this is a mechitza tluya, it's just suspended in the air. And normally the halacha is mechitza tluya ain't a mechitza. Halachically, that's not considered a valid mechitza. But as I just explained, when we speak about mayim, Chazal were lenient. So the Mishnah over there discusses shtei gezustros zu amal mezu. You have two balconies sticking out from different places in the house. And they made this contraption for the upper porch, for loyla tachtoina. But loyla tachtoina, they didn't make this contraption for the bottom porch. The loch is shtei masuras. Both, since they didn't make an eruv, if these two porches didn't make an eruv together, achiyavu. So the Mishnah is teaching us, let's think about this. The people on the upper porch, to be able to use this contraption, just have to lower it down, shilshil. The people on the lower porch who want to use this contraption, they first have to do zrika. They have to throw their pail up to the upper porch and then drop it down through that frame. Now, the Mishnah that we just quoted said, shtei masurim. They're both asur. Isn't this a situation where lezeb is zrika and lezeb b'shilshul? And we're not saying, and according to Shmuel, if it's lezeb zrika, lezeb shilshul, we should certainly attribute it to the one that has zrika. Yet the Gemara says shnei masurim. Since the shnei masurim, that means that they're equal, like Rav said, not like Shmuel said. Amar of Ada Barhava to defend Shmuel, but boim b'nei tachtoina derech ayoina. The people don't actually throw the pail up to the frame and the upper porch and then drop the pail down. They actually go up to the upper porch, lamalus. Since they walk up, so they're both on the upper porch. Since they're both on the upper porch, so they have equal access to this frame. Abai Amar, Abai gives a different teretz. He says, keep going to Kayam B'tech HaSor Da'adodi. The Mishnah is speaking about a situation where the two porches are within 10 tefachim of each other. And since that's so close to each other, then the fact that the bottom porch has to throw its pail up these 10 tefachim to get it through the frame, that doesn't mean that that's not called zrika. He says, when is it considered zrika? It's only considered zrika when they're two separate rishuyas. But here, that since they're so close to each other, they're not considered two separate rishuyas. The discussion that we're having in our sugyas is when you have a third independent place, and we need to determine to whom we should attribute this third independent place. In a situation like we are discussing, that it isn't really that they're so close to each other, it has a whole different situation. And that's why, in such a situation, it's considered that they're all connected to each other. And the Tanis come to teach us that's why it's they're both also. Uvelay mibayi kama. And the way to understand it is as follows. That if the bottom balcony made this frame and not the upper balcony, that's Siri, that they're also. Why? The kivin the begaya sar that dodi kayam. Again, since these two balconies are within 10 tefachim of each other, so since they're within 10 tefachim, and they both use it by dropping something through the hole, so certainly asar hadadi. Ella filu asu el yoino. But even if the frame is on the upper balcony, it's not on the bottom balcony, salkadat chamina. Yes, they're so close to each other, but still, in order to be able to use this area, for the people on the upper porch, it's easier because they just have to drop the pail through the frame. And for the people on the bottom balcony, it's a little more difficult because they have to throw it up. So I would think that this would, we should consider that this is a situation of Lezesh Tishmish Benachas, and we should attribute it to the upper balcony. Kamash Malon, that's what the Gemara is teaching, that's what that Bryce is teaching us. Kivin the Begoya Sarakayamim, since these two balconies are within 10 tefachim each other, so they're all considered one Rishus, and since they considered one Rishus, Asr and Hadadi, they will adversely affect the other, even though the actual usage is not the exact same. Says the Gemara, I bring you a raya to this halacha, says the Gemara. Ki hada amar Rav Nachman amar Shmuel, gaga samach l'shus rabim. So this is diagram 285 in the Mar HaMavor. We have, if we look at this diagram, we analyze this diagram. We have here a gaga samach l'shus rabim. You have a roof. You have a roof that's right next to the Shus Rabim. And when we have that situation, the roof enters the Shus Rabim, and it's 10 tefachim above the Shus Rabim. And from that roof, you go up to the, you go further higher up. Says the Gemara, Tzorach Salm Kvula Tiroi. If you want to be able to carry from that gag Teraliyah, to make it one rishus, you have to have a permanent ladder. All this we see clearly in this diagram. Because you have this ladder, so that's what we're showing, that we're separating the gag, we're separating the area of the gag from the rishus rabim, and it's going to be attributed strictly to the people in the aliyah. But what do we see from here, says the Gemara? Sulam kavuin, only if there's this ladder. Sulmarai, but if there is no permanent ladder, loy, it wouldn't help. My tama, why do we need to have the sulm kavua? Why do the people on the aliyah not allowed to use the gag? The gag is extremely accessible. The gag is extremely accessible to the people on the aliyah, and because it's extremely accessible to the aliyah, it should be attributed to the aliyah. Lav, says the Gemara, must be. Because we go back to the teretz that we just learned. Since the Rosh Hashanah is less than 10 tefachim below the gag, we just learned that whenever you have a situation that has such a low distance, it's not considered a separate Rosh Hashanah. And we don't start analyzing to which Rosh Hashanah, where is this area have easier access if the two areas are within 10 tefachim of each other. Masra Rapapa, says Rapapa, who says that that's the reason? The Dilma, maybe the way to understand the Gemara is Rabbi Makasvim Labakum Suva Sudra, that many people use this area very easily. They put their hats and coats on that area, and since they put their hats and coats on that area, so it's very, as we see in diagram 286, when it's so easily accessible to both areas, so that's a situation of Lezeba Pesach or Lezeba Pesach. And whenever it's Lezeba Pesach or Lezeba Pesach, it's Osir. Unless, as our Gemara clearly just taught us, you put a ladder connecting the Liyah to the Gag. By putting in a ladder connecting to the Gag, so that connects these two chatzeris, and since it connects these two chatzeris, it's all different. Here we're speaking about the area of Agag. So the Chishuki Chemed has here a very interesting discussion about making a sukkah on a roof. And he wants to say a number of interesting halachas. He says, if somebody makes his sukkah on the roof, and we know that when we make a sukkah, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simen Tov Reish Mem Aleph Paskins, ha'oise sukkasa, if somebody constructs a sukkah, einem avarach alas yosi, you don't make a bracha when you construct it. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Aleph explains, because the construction of the sukkah is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is sitting in the sukkah. But let's say he wants to suggest that if you make a sukkah that on your roof that didn't have a wall around it, and now by making that sukkah, you're going to have a wall around your roof. And the halacha is that when you make a makkah, when you make a gate around your roof, you have to make a bracha. So here, when you make this sukkah, you're not going to make a bracha on the sukkah, but it's going to be a case where you're building a sukkah, making a bracha, the bracha on a makkah. But then he says a very interesting halacha. He says, what happens if somebody puts up his sukkah on a roof that doesn't have a gate around it? And we know that the Torah, Parshas Kisetze, is very strict about vasisa makkah l'gagecha, making a roof, making a gate around your roof. The Torah says, v'leisosim damim b'meisecha. Don't leave something dangerous. Leaving a roof that's not properly gated is obviously dangerous. So he wants to suggest that making a sukkah on a roof that doesn't have a proper fence around it is considered like making a sukkah in a makom sakana. And the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Reish Mem Dalet Sif Dalet says that if somebody, I'll read the words, if you make your sukkah in a place where it's difficult to eat, or it's difficult to drink, or it's difficult to sleep, you place your sukkah in a place where you're scared to sit there because of ganovim or other people that could come in easily and cause harm. So here too, that if the sukkah is placed on a makkah, on a gag that doesn't have a roof, so it's a dangerous area. And since it's a dangerous area, maybe it's awesome. But then he wants to suggest that the Chazon Ish says that even though the Torah says, when it speaks, as we just said a moment ago, about the obligation to making a roof around your gate, and then a gate around your roof, and the Torah says, well, I saw some dumb beisecha, but still, the Chazon Ish said that the halacha of making a gate is not necessarily tied to danger. And even in a situation where it wouldn't be dangerous, you still would be obligated to make a makkah. We don't necessarily tie it to danger. So if we're going to learn the mitzvah of makkah that way, so the mitzvah of makkah is an independent mitzvah, not connected to danger. And therefore, we would have to look at the roof. If the roof is indeed, there's a danger involved in going into that sukkah, then indeed that sukkah would not be a valid sukkah. If there is no danger, even though you should have made a makkah and you didn't, it will not necessarily be a disqualified sukkah.